And so we're going to talk about bestsellers today. Anybody have an idea what the best-selling book of all time in English is? The Bible. All right. Number one's easy. Anybody have an idea what number two is? So The Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody ever heard of The Pilgrim's Progress? All right, so The Pilgrim's Progress, if you're not familiar with it, John Bunyan. John Bunyan was born in 1620. He was became a soldier when he was a little bit later. When his friend was killed in combat, he felt that God had saved him for his special purpose. And later, he had a significant conversion experience. He realized that his life had been devoted to the wrong sort of things, that he'd been giving himself to drunkenness and carousing. And so he became a licensed preacher. John Bunyan didn't have a whole lot of education. He really only knew one book, and that was the Bible. And then in 1660, King Charles of England made a declaration that the only lawful services were the Church of England. So you were not allowed to preach or teach anything apart from being a part of the Church of England. Well, John Bunyan was not a part of the Church of England. Consequently, he landed himself in jail for 12 years for unlawful assemblies and gatherings. He was released from prison and then back in prison again in 1675 for the very same reason, unlawful preaching. And while he was in prison the second time, he wrote a book. And that book is called The Pilgrim's Progress. And The Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory, a story of the Christian journey. And it's really fairly transparent as he makes his way through this. And so the main character is named Christian. And Christian is traveling from the city of destruction to the heavenly city. And along the way, he encounters obstacles such as the Slough of Despond or the Hill of Difficulty. And there are people along the way who get in his way, people like Obstinate and Pliable or Mr. Worldly Wise. So you can see things aren't really well hidden in this book, but he also has some friends along the way. And so there's people like Helpful and Charity and Faithful. And as I was thinking about this book today, because it's a great picture, because the Christian life is like a journey. We use that oftentimes. The Bible talks about the way. The way is the way to follow Jesus. But we also talk about our walk with Jesus. And so we're walking with Jesus. And so a walk is a journey from one place to another. We talked about this a few weeks ago, about we're all at different places on our journey. We're all being at different places on the journey. But we're taking a destination. We're taking a trip. But what I want us to think about today is the need for us sometimes to have encouragement on journeys. That sometimes journeys get hard. And that's particularly true of following Jesus. That sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's challenging. And the book of Hebrews, which we read a couple small passages from, is about that same sort of thing. So the book of Hebrews, don't know who wrote it, but it was this really kind of a, less a letter, more of a sermon to a group of early followers of Jesus. And they were struggling. They were struggling because life wasn't always easy. They were struggling because they were facing challenges and difficulties. And we're not sure what all those were. But we know that they were facing challenges. And sometimes when we face challenges on a journey, what's one of the temptations? Just to quit, right? Just to stop. You know what? We're not doing this anymore. You're on a run. You're on a walk. You're going somewhere. You're going from here to there. And you're going. And you just keep running into obstacle after obstacle. You're having flat tires. You're running out of gas. Your body's broken down. You're getting blisters. Whatever it is, you say, I just can't do this anymore. And that's in part what the Christian journey can be like. That where you run and you're going along and you run into challenges, you run into difficulties, and you say, I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm not sure I can do this. And so the writer of Hebrews talks about this and gives three basic things. He talks about encouragement. And I want us to think about encouragement in three kind of categories. So imagine yourself on a difficult journey. Maybe it's the Christian life. Maybe it's something else, whatever it is, some difficulty you're facing. And there are three ways that people can provide encouragement, three kinds of encouragement. And the Bible uses different words, but I'm going to kind of draw those together. Sometimes it talks about encouraging. Sometimes it talks about exhorting. Sometimes it talks about admonishing. But on a journey, there's usually three kinds of encouragement you need. One is the kind of encouragement you need when you're making progress and you just need somebody to come alongside you and say, what? You're doing good. Keep going. You've got this. You're going good. That's one kind. The second kind of encouragement is that kind where you've gotten so tired, you stopped, and you have to sit down. And the problem is when you're on a long journey and you sit down, sometimes you just don't want to get up again, do you?
And it's hard to get up. And so sometimes the kind of encouragement you need is somebody to come along and say, come on, you got this. You know, let's get going again. The other kind of encouragement you need sometimes is if I'm going to there, but I get off just a little bit and I'm going the wrong direction, there's that encouragement that comes alongside you and says, wait a minute, you're off the track just a little bit, and gets you back on the track. And so we're going to talk a little bit about those three kinds of encouragement. But let's go to this passage in the book of Hebrews first, because it starts at a critical place. And so Hebrews chapter 10, the one we're going to look at, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And this is a long, complicated sentence. But what's it talking about? It's talking about the beginning place for all of the Christian journey is what God has done for us. And that's an important thing, is that's where we start. In everything we talk about and everything we do is what God has already done. So he's talking about, here's this truth, this thing we realize that God has done this for us, that in Jesus Christ, he has opened up a way to enter into God's throne room. And we sang that beautiful song earlier, before the throne of God above. He says, I have a high and perfect priest, who's great, a great high priest whose name is love. And God enters us in. He says, let us draw near with a sincere heart and with the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. So it starts off and says, this is the nature of God. God is faithful. God has opened up the way, and therefore we can enter in. And it's beginning with God's actions. It's beginning with God's grace. And this is essential for us to think about on this Christian journey, because it's also the same basis that we think about it. We have to think about that. This basis, this foundation of grace, is essential to us. Because what's it saying there? It's saying we can enter into the presence of God because we know God's love for us. We can enter into the presence of God because we know Jesus has made us clean and made us pure. And so when we start thinking about encouragement, it's the same sort of thing. Because what's absolutely essential to receive encouragement from someone is to know that they have your best in mind. And so I want us to see that parallel, that we're able to enter into God's presence because we know what Jesus has done for us, because we know of his great love for us. And in the same way, when he starts then talking about our encouragement for one another, we have to start with that foundation. In order to be a place that encourages people, in order for us to encourage one another, we have to know that somebody has our best in mind. We'll come back to that. But I want us to have that in the back of our heads. And so he goes on and he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And so the writer says, and now let us consider how we can do it. And so I think that's an important starting place to say, we have to think about it. We have to think about how can we do the, because we realize, as we talked about a few weeks ago, everybody's at a different place. And so when we talk about spurring one another on, as we can think about encouraging people, encouragement looks different for different people. We have to consider how we can spur one another on, because some people want the yelling. I mean, there are some people, I don't remember, in high school playing football. And we would be gathered in the locker room before the game, and there were the guys who were screaming and yelling and banging their helmets and their heads against the lockers and screaming and yelling. And I'm not that kind of guy. I don't get into the screaming so much. And sometimes people would look at me, they'd be like, oh, come on, you got to get ready. And I'm like, I'm ready. They're like, no, you're not ready. And I said, no, really, I am. And no, you're not. You know, hit their head. And it's like, because that didn't encourage me. That wasn't, and so we realize in the same way as we look around and we see different people, everybody needs different kinds of encouragement. There are different ways, and so when we think about how we encourage someone, and we're going to talk about those three ways in just a minute, how we encourage someone, we have to stop for a minute and say, what's the right way for this person? Not what's right for me, not what's right for that person over there, but what's the right way for this person? And then when I'm giving them some advice, to realize that everybody needs different kinds of advice. And so then we're also thinking about, We're encouraging them, but what? And consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That there's a direction, that there's a purpose in this. And so let's go back to those three basic kinds. So the first kind of encouragement people need is you're doing well. Keep going.
And this is the one that most of the time is the most beneficial, is just to look around and say, look, I see God doing good stuff in you. You know, people need to be told they're doing well. I think sometimes the only time we think to say anything to anyone is when they've stopped, or maybe they've gone off track. But here in our congregation and in congregations all around this country and congregations all around the world, there are hundreds of thousands, there are millions of people who live their lives faithfully day in and day out. They may never stand up on a platform. They may never have their name on a plaque. They may never be recognized. They may never be invited to be a speaker anywhere. But they're living out their life faithfully following Jesus in whatever form that may take. And sometimes what we need to do is just come along and say, hey, I've noticed you. I've seen what you're doing, and I see you're living a faithful life. And so you might want to think, is there somebody that I've noticed? Is there somebody I've seen in this congregation or maybe in another congregation? Somebody I know that's living out their life faithfully following Jesus, and they've been an encouragement to me. Because I can think of people who I've seen in my life that have been an encouragement to me. I've seen them from a distance. They didn't come up to me and shake my hand and tell me what to do, but I just watched them live out their lives quietly in faithfulness and the way they lived. And so what I might do then to be an encouragement is just simply say, hey, I appreciate it. I noticed the way you talk to your kids. Or I noticed the way you care for your wife. I noticed the way that you show up all the time. Whatever that is. And so sometimes it simply takes that little word of encouragement to say, hey, I see what you're doing, and you're doing good, and you're doing well, and God is working inside of you. And this is such an important part of it, because we may not realize we need the encouragement, but I know that for me, that sometimes that little note of encouragement, and that's one of the most, when I say note of encouragement, can be one of the most powerful things is, we don't do much anymore is what? Write notes by hand. I've got in my office a folder labeled appreciation, and it just sits there, and it's 20 plus years of notes that people have sent me over time. Sometimes it's a card, sometimes it's just a little note, sometimes I print it off, and even whatever, just somebody who said, hey, here's something you did that helped me. And oftentimes it wasn't anything, it was seldom something big. It was oftentimes a little thing. And those days when life is difficult, sometimes I'll just pull out that folder and say, hey, look. And it's an encouragement to me. And that in turn then makes me want to say, can I be an encouragement to other people? Can I notice the little things they're doing, the way they're living out their life faithfully following Jesus, and be an encouragement? And so when the writer said, let us encourage and spur one another on. And so sometimes we just need to spur people on because they're going along and they're going through the daily life and they're doing this day after day. And that little note, that word of encouragement, that step aside and say, hey, I noticed what you were doing. And I really appreciate that. I see what God is doing in your life. I see your faithfulness. Can kind of encourage them to keep on going. And so that's the first kind of encouragement. The second kind of encouragement is that where you get stuck. Because, as we all know, when you stop, it's a whole lot harder to get going again sometimes. And it's this thing called inertia, where you get going and you lose that inertia, you lose that momentum, you lose that power, and you stop. Sometimes it's because of laziness, sometimes it's because of habit. We fall into a particular habit, or we fall out of a habit. Maybe that habit is reading our Bible, maybe that habit is going to church, and we have those habits, and how many of you have ever had a habit you've tried to break? Yeah. Is it an easy thing to do?
No.
No, it's not. And so there are good habits and there are bad habits, and sometimes we just fall into the wrong kind of a habit. And we realize that's why what makes habits so hard is because we do them all. What makes it a habit? It's something we do without thinking, right? And we walk over and we grab that donut. We
put that donut down, or whatever it is, whatever that habit is. We come home and we turn on the television. We do certain things in certain ways, and they become habits. They become our patterns of doing things, and it's so hard to break those. And that's the kind where sometimes we need that encouragement to break that old habit, because we have a certain amount of energy. We have a certain amount, and we need sometimes to break that habit. We like predictability. We like routine, and we like things, and we need somebody to come alongside us. And so sometimes the type of encouragement we need to give is just to notice somebody who maybe seems stuck. Who maybe seems stuck in some way, and we need to come along and say, okay, come on, you can do this. Get up. And one of the key things in encouragement is there are two kinds of encouragers. There's the kind of encourager that sits over here and says, you can do it, go ahead, go on. And so I run races. And there's some sort of encouragement, but sometimes when you're at mile 25 of a marathon, so of 26.2 miles, and there's somebody standing, but they're like, you've got this. I'm like, yeah, but you haven't been running 25 miles. I mean, there's that kind of encouragement when somebody's standing beside and they're like, come on. And then there's the other kind of encouragement, which is so much encouraging in those races, when somebody else runs up beside you and says, come on, you can do this. And so there are two kinds of encouragement. When the person gets stuck, I can see somebody who's stuck and they're like, come on, you lazy bum, get up, get going. That's one kind of encouragement, right? May work, may not. But what about the kind of encouragement that says, come on, I'll help you. We can do this together. Whatever that is. And so, again, going back to that, we said, let us consider how we can spur one another on. And so we can look at people, and people get into routines. And I said, routines have a plus and a minus, don't they? Routines can be valuable. There can be a routine of saying, I get up every morning and I read my Bible, and this is how I live my faithful life. I pray at this time, and I keep my list. And those routines can be helpful for keeping us going. But sometimes those routines can also get us stuck. And so sometimes we need to say, well, maybe we try something different. And so you come to someone who's maybe stuck and say, hey, let's do this together. I noticed you're struggling to do this, but I'm going to stop by and I'm going to pick you up and we'll go to the Bible study together. Or maybe somebody's stuck and you say, hey, let's read our Bible together. Or maybe they're struggling in some other area, but you say, let's do this together. And so that's the kind of encouragement that says, come on, I want to help you along. And to realize that everybody needs different things. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part, because some people simply need a new way of doing things. Some people need a new outlook. And sometimes it's as simple as saying, maybe try a different translation of your Bible. But what we realize is sometimes what works for us doesn't always work for other people. There's a temptation sometimes to encouragement, say, oh, you're struggling in your spiritual life. I know just what you need. What really worked for me was, that may work, and it may not. Because we're all at different places. We all work in different ways. So sometimes, and that's where it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. To think about it. So when you see somebody who's stuck, don't just jump to the first thing. Stop for a minute. Pray about it. Think about it. Say, who is this person? What would most help them? That's why we realize a lot of it comes out of relationship. So there are the people who are going along, who just need encouragement to keep going. There are the people who get stuck. And then there are the people who are drifting off the wrong way. And so if you've ever done, how many of you have ever done orienteering or land navigation or something? So the principle is, so if you have a compass and you set up to a particular azimuth, a direction, and you find that if you're off by 1 degree, 1 degree doesn't sound like a whole lot. And 1 degree, if I'm only traveling a few feet, isn't too bad. But if I get off 1 degree and I travel for a mile, I'm a long ways from my direction. And the Christian life is the same way, that sometimes we're going along and we've got our eyes and we're headed towards Jesus, and then we take it just a little turn, which at first doesn't seem like a whole lot. Maybe we tell one little lie, and we say, well, that was just one little. But over time, that little direction heads us off in a wrong way. And this is probably the most difficult kind of encouragement, or the Bible uses the word admonishment, to do, is when somebody's headed down the wrong path. Why is it hard? One is because sometimes we don't feel like maybe we're qualified. It's like, oh, who am I to tell somebody they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing? Who am I to tell somebody they're headed down the wrong way? Another thing that makes it difficult is we don't like to be told ourselves we're wrong. And so we know how other people feel. And we're also afraid sometimes that if we come along beside somebody and say, hey, what you're doing isn't quite the right thing. What you're headed is the wrong way. What's one of the fears? That relationship will be broken. And so because this type of encouragement, this type of you're headed the wrong way, really happens best in a good relationship. Somebody who doesn't know you very well comes alongside you and tells you, you're going the wrong way, I don't like what you're doing, this isn't what it looks like to follow Jesus, you're going to ignore it. But somebody who's your good friend, who comes along and says, hey, and this is where it becomes important to walk beside them. And so we saw that even in the earlier passage from the book of Hebrews and why it's so important. And see to it, none of you, brother, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so this is a hard thing to do. You know, this isn't about, you know, the person's a little bit annoying. This is about when their life, when their pattern in their life is taking them in the wrong direction. When something in their life, whatever that is taking them away from where God wants them to go. It is to be able to come along beside them and to recognize that if you keep going this way, and this is where it is, it's based out of a love for the person. Sometimes it's based out of a feeling of superiority, a feeling of I'm better than you, and that's the wrong place to be based out of. But it's based out of a realization that this person, if they keep going in this direction, they're going to miss what God has intended for them. They're not going to realize the full life that Jesus wants for them. And so we come along beside them and say, you're going this way, but this is the way we need to go. And then to be able to walk beside them and keep them on that straight path. Well, he said, this is by far the hardest one to do, but it's so important. And it's not just pointing out the fault, but it's helping them. It's helping them to do what they need to do. So can we be people of encouragement? And I think this is where it's so valuable. So the writer in Hebrews is saying this to people. He's saying, here's what's going on in life. He said, when you miss the mark, when you are walking the life with Jesus, it's hard. It's challenging. It's difficult. And because we know it's difficult, we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another to keep going when we're being faithful. We need to encourage one another when we've stopped and we've reached some momentum. We need to encourage one another when we're starting to stray off, because the goal is this great, incredible life with Jesus. And so what I would invite you to do is think about, look around you and think about in your own life, who are the people you can encourage? Who are the people that you can be an encourager to? Who are the people that you notice and you see them living out their lives and you admire them from afar and say, wow, I really appreciate that. I see what they're doing and it's so great. Let me take a moment and tell them. Tell them you see what they're doing and that you want to encourage them. Tell them what, as you see them living out that life, and maybe you see the difficulties and the challenges that they're facing. They're facing difficult financial situations. They're facing difficult relationship situations. They're facing difficult in the physical life, in caring for loved ones. Whatever, did you see them, and you see them living out that out faithfully, just come along and say, hey, I see God working in you. I see what he's doing, and give them a little bit of encouragement. Or maybe it's that person in your life who you see has kind of gotten stuck. And that stuck can look all different ways. They're kind of in a rut. Maybe they feel like their spiritual life has kind of plateaued. Maybe they used to be in the habit of doing things and they've fallen out of that habit. And think about who those people are. And think about, is there a way, do I have that relationship with them, that I can come along within a culture of grace and say, hey, I see you're stuck. I want to help you. What can we do? What can we do? What can I do to help you to move along? And then the third one, which requires the most thought and the most prayer, is to say, is there someone I know who's headed off a little bit in the wrong direction? Who's missing the fullness of what God has intended for them? And do I have the relationship? Do I have that relationship built up? Do we have enough grace between us where they can hear me and know that what I'm saying is being said with love? And can I say to them, hey, you're missing. Let's see what we can do to get back on track. Because we're all on a pilgrim's progress. We're all on this journey from the city of destruction to the heavenly city. And we need helpers along the way. And just as much as we need helpers, we need to be helpers. And so our greatest helper is Jesus. Our greatest helper is the Spirit of God living inside us. But God invites us to be encouragers to one another. So let us be encouragers. Let us be encouragers to one another, to help one another on this journey. Let us see what we can do to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Because when we do that, imagine what it would look like to have a group of people. Imagine what it would look like to have a congregation of people where we're encouraging one another, we're constantly doing it, because there's this momentum, there's this energy, there's this excitement that builds as we all come together and we encourage one another on. So let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Amen.